Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 71 of Metallicast, the Metallica podcast. I'm your host and fellow Metallica fan. My name is Brandon. On this episode, I'm joined by returning guest Brett Myolan, the host of his own YouTube show called Headbanger's Closet. Brett was on not too long ago. We were joined by Jason Long, and the three of us discussed our experience of attending the Big Four shows. That was a lot of fun. So I told Brett at the end, hey, you got to come back on Metallicast, talk about your collection, talk about some of your favorite Metallica items, and of course, talk about your show, Headbanger's Closet, where he shows off and talks about parts of his collection every single week. It is a great time. Brett is a great dude. We had a lot of fun talking again. We talked about his collection, of course, his show, of course, which you can check out the link in the episode description. And we also talk about how he got into the band and thrash metal in general. In fact, if you give us a follow on Twitter, you can check out the links in the episode description. I am at MetallicastPod on Twitter. Every single week, we choose five songs, usually thrash metal songs, definitely metal songs, and we listen, discuss, review. It is a great way to hear songs that maybe you've not heard in a while, or songs that are all-time favorites, or a way to discover brand new bands as well. It is a great time, so join us on there. But we talk about all of that and more. So here is my conversation with Brett Myolan of Headbanger's Closet. My guest today is a huge fan of Metallica and thrash metal. He has a great collection that he likes to show off in his own YouTube show, Headbanger's Closet. Please welcome back to Metallicast, the one, the only, Mr. Brett Myolan. Brett, how are you, bud?
Good. How you doing, buddy? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. Thanks. Did I butcher the last name? I had the last name correct.
Yeah, it was right, dead on, man.
Perfect. I'm off to a good start.
You're a pro.
Podcast yeah. Professional at your service. Thank you very much. I'm so professional that I waited till we were recording to double check.
Dang. That's called confidence in yourself, my friend.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. Confidence, not ignorance. Confidence. So you were on not that long ago with our good friend Jason Long to talk about the Big Four. We all had the experience of seeing the show, so that was a lot of fun. But because you were on with Jason, I'm not sure we really got too much into how you got into Metallica. So I want to start there because that's a question I always love asking first-time guests. Do you remember when you first heard the band and how you discovered them?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a funny story because I feel that the universe always wanted me to be a Metallica fan, and I was really reluctant to do so. I had heard, I was a huge hairband fan. Like, I thought Poison was awesome, and Motley Crue, and, you know, Dawkins. I love that stuff, right. Stuff on MTV. I heard Puppets. I heard song Fade to Black, Bells. I thought that was cool. And one day, my buddy Rob come over. We were playing Nintendo, and he had the Garage Days cassette tape. He's like, dude, you got to hear this new Metallica record. You know, we didn't know it was a cover EP. He put it on, and it sounded cool. But what I liked about it was it didn't sound like a real album. It sounded kind of like rough and stuff like that.
Right,
Fast forward. Fast forward sometime later, and I'm in a car with my brother, and he hands me a cassette tape of Justice and says, put this in your Walkman. And I was listening to Warrant, so I traded him. So I gave him the Warrant tape. He gave me Justice. I put it on, and I didn't know, but it was side two. First song was Short of Straw, and it blew me away. From that moment on, I was like, this is the stuff for me. And I've been a diehard ever since.
Yeah, so Metallica was like your gateway to all things heavy.
Pretty much, yeah, because I got through them, I got into Megadeth and Slayer and Sepultura, bands like that. I always liked Maiden a little bit, but yeah, it was the first band was, heavy metal was Metallica.
Yeah, I think that's like the gateway for so many people, myself included, because I know Metallica was like I listened to rock, like Aerosmith and some other stuff, like more classic rock type stuff. And then when I heard Metallica, they were the heaviest band I had heard up to that point. And I remember even like hearing Pantera not long after and being like, I'm not ready for that. Like I knew when I heard them, I was like, I'm not ready for that. And like, I retreated back to Metallica, but then I inched my way into Megadeth and then, Anthrax and like kind of did the big four. And then by the time I'm in high school, it's Cannibal Corpse and black metal and death metal and all this crazy shit. And I've not looked back. So if anybody, like my parents, thought it was a phase, it is not a phase. But
I'm in the boat with you there. And I think a lot of my family members just were hoping it was going to be a phase. All right, anytime now. This is an awful long phase you're going through. 30 years.
Yeah. It was funny, too, to see, like, I just had, like, a flashback to when I was a kid, like, middle school, high school, and wearing, like, Metallica t-shirts. And, like, some people would think that you're weird when they're such, like, a popular mainstream band. It's such a weird thing because you, like, everybody I feel like knows who they are, but you could still be like that weird metalhead kid because you're wearing a Metallica t-shirt with like skulls on it. It's like, this is they're like listened to by millions of people. Like, why am I the weirdo here? I mean, it could have also been because I played in like a black metal band, but that's besides the point. So you got heavy into metal, obviously, from that point forward. And at some point you start this collection that you showcase now on Headbangers Closet. So like, when did you start collecting? When did you get the bug for that? And what type of things can people find in your collection? Just in general, not even Metallica specific yet, but just in general.
I mean, I've always collected stuff. When I was a little kid, if it wasn't, baseball cards, like in G.I. Joe guys and stuff like that, I've always been into collecting things. It started, I guess, way before I got into Metallica. I had all the the hair band magazines like Hit Parader and Metal Edge. And I had to keep them and put them in. Some kids had the comic books in those plastic sleeves. I had like the Circus magazine. In the plastic, I take it out like I'd like look through it, and so I was into that. And I'd collect, didn't really get to go to concerts because I was just too young. I want to say when the first metal band I got into was Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil. I think I was just turned 8 years old, so I wasn't going to shows, but I'd go to the mall and I'd get like a T-shirt. I was collecting that stuff, right. And it wasn't until. It, like everything kind of revolves around Metallica, really, because it wasn't until that 88, 89 time frame. Not only did I get into Metallica, I really got into Anthrax. My friends at school, I was in the seventh grade, so we would, write the logos on our books. You had the grocery store, what do you call it, like bags, covering your books. You'd do that. We'd trade tapes. So I was always collecting that way. Someone didn't, they got an extra, Anthrax, I'm the Man single for Christmas. Oh, I'll trade this. So I was collecting that stuff, cassette tapes. I had the Metallica Crash Course skateboard when I was a little kid.
Nice, yeah.
So it all kind of started around that time. It was cassette tapes. And then it was the pins that went on your jacket, the posters, all the magazines. I didn't know anything about, show flyers. That kind of just escaped to me that could be a thing. But I did have newspapers. when these bands I would like would come around, it would be advertised in the paper, and I would save those. Much of that stuff is gone now. But in high school, I really started collecting more CDs and bootleg shows on CD. That went all the way up until, you know, the 2000s. And then, you know, vinyl kind of came back. And I was like, oh, yeah. One more thing to start collecting. And I just been doing it, you know.
That's awesome. Well, I loved that you mentioned Hit Parader and Metal Edge, because those magazines were my introduction to interior design, because they plastered my wall as a kid.
Yep.
It's the only, and to date, I think it's the only decoration I've ever done of any room of any place I've lived in. But
yep.
Like I would in Hit Parader too, like in its final days there, the writing was like atrocious. But if you ever like actually read an article, but I'd buy every issue, because I'd be like, you're guaranteed like a cool Metallica picture, a cool Ozzy picture, a cool Megadeth picture. And that shit would just layer my wall. And until I ran out of white on my wall, and then I would start, you know, taping over other pictures. It was basically my whole wall was like a freaking collage of metal and rock. And, but Metal Edge too, I remember buying, and they had the big fold out poster, and they had a lot of cool interviews in that magazine. I remember, you know, when Reload came out, and, you know, reading a in-depth Reload interview with James Hetfield and stuff. And now it's like, all that is gone now, you know, some of it is digital now, but so much of that is gone.
Yeah. And as we've discussed on Twitter, with the digital stuff, like I can't read it, the clickbait stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I miss the physical copies of those magazines, you know. And like you said, with the interior design, they plastered my walls as well. A lot of those magazines were my first real visuals of some of these bands I was into.
Totally,
like, you'd see certain hair bands on MTV, but I never was able to stay up late enough to see Headbangers Ball, so. Seeing those magazines were like the first I saw of Iron Maiden, you know, first I saw like of Motorhead,
right?
Cause those guys weren't like on, you know, Dial MTV back in the day. So I was like, you had the records, you could see what they looked like on the back, but it wasn't the same as seeing like picture of like, you know, Ozzy with like hung over and high with like six half naked chicks hanging around him, you know, stuff like that. Like, oh wow. That, you know,
I was going to say, you see some of these bands and you're like, I should have tried to buy a Playboy or something. These guys are ugly. Like, now I'm going to put Lemmy's ugly mug on my wall. Like, what's wrong with me? But then you're like, oh, because it's Lemmy's badass. Those were the days, though. You know, yeah, I mean, there's so much clickbait stuff out there now. That do not get me wrong. There's a lot of websites out there that do quality writing, have actual interviews and reviews, and I think do quality work. But like, if you go to blabbermouth.net, which, and by the way, Blabbermouth can cover anything I say on this podcast anytime. I'll love the free publicity. With that said, anything that they write is like just straight from a press release. I know, because I get emails with the press releases of a lot of these record companies, and I'll see it word for word from my email right on their page, and that they'll word the headline for some clickbaity thing. And it's like, and the most recent example, which started our conversation on Twitter, was with the James Hetfield skeptical of the COVID vaccine. And the way it's worded and it created all this like anger from people, because people love being angry on the internet, because you read it and you automatically assume like, oh, he's anti-mask, he's anti-vaccine, he's a non-believer, he's this, he's that. He basically, they word it in a way where it's like, this guy's Ted Nugent. And while there might be similarities between the Mighty Het and Ted Nugent in some of their beliefs, when you actually read the article and read the quote in context, I was like, he's just talking about how he never really got vaccinated before because he grew up a Christian Scientist. So he's always been a little skeptical of vaccines, and he's only received one vaccine before in his life. And he's open to getting this vaccine if he needs to.
Yeah. And then, of course, people blew up. 99% of the population doesn't read the article. They look at the headline and go, oh, my God, he's a horrible human. Right, and then they start bashing him, bashing the band, bashing the songs. Like, certain social media platforms, it's cool to, like, hate Metallica for some reason. And it's like, yeah, you know that obscure death metal band that you and, like, only six other guys like? Yeah, they were influenced by Metallica. So you should thank them.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it all goes back to, I think it started a little bit with the Black Album, and then it grew a little bit more with Load Reload, and then it really got cemented with Napster, and then everybody hated Lars Ulrich, and now that hatred has been, like, passed down to, you know, the frat boys who could not get their, you know, I disappear for free anymore. Napster were like, oh, I hate you, Metallica. I hate you, Lars Ulrich. This band sucks. And then I think that has just been kind of passed. I mean, in the long run, none of it makes a difference. They're a huge band. They're selling out stadiums. Their next album will be number one on the Billboard charts. It's a vocal minority, which I think is the bulk of, you know, the hate all on the internet in general is like a vocal minority in a lot of cases. But nonetheless, they're still there, and they still pop up on your Twitter feed, and you're just like, I have to, like, stop myself from even, like, engaging with any of them, because I think I want to just, like, mess with them and have fun with them, but then I know they're not going to get the humor, and then I'm going to end up getting actually annoyed, then I'm going to get actually pissed off, and then I'm like, why am I doing this over something stupid that means nothing? So I try to ignore the comments and just move on with my life. But it's hard sometimes because they like wave that worm in front of you, and I just want to attack sometimes.
It used to really bum me out, you know, a couple of years, no, maybe like 5 or so years ago, used to really bum me out when I'd hear people like just say something really stupid about Metallica. And I'm like, how do you hate this band? Do your ears not work? Because they sound way better than any other band. And there's this contingent of people that think Megadeth is better. I'm like, you know, I love Megadeth, love them. But I mean, my ears work. You can hear which sounds better. It's not rocket science, it's easy. But I mean, I'm getting to the point like you were like, I just don't respond, but it used to really, really bum me out. Like, I see somebody comment, I'm like, how can they hate on this awesome band? And it would, like, ruin my afternoon, you know. This band I've spent like 30 plus years of my life loving.
Well, I just remember, you know, it always brings me back to high school, because when I was in high school, Napster was going on. Like, when I was a senior in high school, Napster was the thing, and I would come in with my Metallica t-shirts, and then all of a sudden somebody would want to debate Napster with me, or they would make a comment like, oh, it's still bad, and then I would say something to defend them, like, and then it would just become like one of those, like, high school music debates at the lunch table, you know. And it was all dumb stuff, but I just always flash back to that, except now, you know, I'm 36 and that person's probably like 56 or 12, and either way I don't want to argue with them. Anyways, that is the internet in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but we have found recently a great way to use the internet and social media in particular. And you know, you were mentioning when you were getting into metal, like, you would talk to your buddies about, you know, oh, borrow this CD, borrow that cassette, whatever it may be. And at some point in your life, because you get older, you get a job, maybe you get married, maybe you have kids, which is the situation for both of us. I'll speak for myself, and I think maybe you will agree that stops, because you just move apart from, like, that part of your life, because you have all these new responsibilities. And, you know, listening to, like, tape trading for a moment becomes less of a thing, because you got to pay mm-hmm. the bills. You just had a baby, this, that. And now the great thing about everything being digital, whether you use YouTube or Apple Music or Spotify, is that I feel like there is an easy way now to share music again, even if you are apart from each other. So like we live in completely different states, but every week now on Twitter, we have been sharing five metal, usually thrash songs, and we've been listening to them, chatting about them on Twitter. And now we have a few others that are joining us. And I mentioned this so other people, if they're interested, can join it, can join in, because it's a great way to share music. Maybe I've re-listened to classics. I have discovered new bands, even some of the songs I've shared. Like I'm not, some of the music I've shared with you, I'm like, I'm a huge fan of this band. And then other times I'm like, I heard this song and it was cool. I don't really know much about the band, but so it's just like even finding songs of my own that I'm sharing, I'm sometimes discovering new stuff, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm having a blast doing it. It's I'm really thankful and glad that we started doing it. It's a lot of fun. And just like you said, this is for me, that new form of tape trading and, you know, tape borrowing and CD borrowing.
Yeah.
We're not actually exchanging physical media, but you guys are showing me some new bands I haven't really heard before, and maybe vice versa. We're, like you said, exploring old classics that maybe we hadn't heard in a while or listened to in a while, some new stuff. And it's just really good time. You know, don't need an excuse to listen to metal and drink beer on the weekends, but this is giving us one, you know?
Yeah, I never needed the excuse before, but now I have one, so it's perfect. If you're interested in joining in, we have a few people now that are on board at MetallicastPod on Twitter. And what is your Twitter handle?
It's Metal Dogwing. I'm thinking about changing it to my YouTube channel's name, but I'm kind of on the fence because I'm still real nervous about putting myself out there, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you and I have talked about like how, you know, you're really good at what you do and you're very professional. Got your stuff together. I'm still real nervous. Every time I shoot an episode, I'm really nervous still. So sometimes it takes me like 4 or 5 tries to actually like start it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm going to change my Twitter handle just yet, but it's Metal Dog Wing. And if I do, it'll be Headbanger's Closet if I get the courage.
Well, you have a lot of cool stuff to show off, and you have a lot of good knowledge to back up some of the findings that you have to back up some of the things that you show off in your collection. So let's circle back to the collection and talk more about Headbanger's Closet. Right. And let's talk about some of the coolest stuff that you have that is, and when I say coolest, I mean some of the stuff that's your personal favorite, whether it's because it's you know, special to you or it's just a unique item.
There's a couple that come to mind right off the bat. Number one, it's not the most expensive item, although I feel it's pretty rare, but just my favorite item in my collection. There's two of them. One of them is the Day on the Green poster. My wife bought it for Christmas, maybe like 7 years ago. It's that, it's with, I think, 91 Day on the Green for the Black album. And it's the snake coming out the water of the, you know, by the Golden Gate Bridge, I think it is.
Awesome.
So I've got that poster. It's really, really cool. My wife found it somewhere. I think it's like some like Wolfgang's vault or something. You can buy it, but it's not like, I don't think they just keep reprinting them. I think it was like a finite number.
Yeah.
So she bought me that. So I really, and she also bought me the t-shirt. She found at some boutique in like Austin, Texas was selling t-shirts with like metal band logos. And that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a metallic shirt for $20. She bought me one.
Yeah, that's awesome, because those Day on the Green shows are legend, you know, both the 85 and 91. Yeah.
So that's one item. Second item is probably my Creeping Death white vinyl. That's kind of, I always say that's the holy grail of my collection just because I love it so much.
Yeah.
I literally take this thing out and look at it like twice a week. Just look at it and be like, it's mine. And I've been wanting that for so long, and talking with Met fan Mike and some other collectors about it. And
yeah,
I would never pull the trigger. And one Saturday morning, I woke up with a hangover, and I was eating breakfast. I was looking through emails, and it said, you know, congratulations on your purchase. And I was like, oh, what did I buy last night? And I was like, oh, well, $300-something core this morning. And but I'm glad I did, because if I had if I hadn't been drinking and listening to metal, I would never have bought it. So that's one. And then my most favorite item is my Injustice for All signed T-shirt, the original Justice for All T-shirt, the white one with the guys' faces.
Oh, nice!
That's signed by all four members of the band. It took me like 22, 23 years to get all four guys to sign it.
Awesome. So how did the signatures come about?
Well, I got the shirt. Like I said, became a huge Metallica fan with Justice. I ended up getting the shirt somewhere, you know, like the mall or something. I don't remember where. But I got the shirt. Like I said, it's the white one with the four faces and the four album covers on the back. And during the Poor Touring Me, the Load Tour, I was in college. And I went to a whole ton of shows. I took a week and a half off of school and traveled down the East Coast and watched them play. And when you went into the venue, if you were a Metallica fan club member, you would hand out flyers. One of the guys that ran the website Met on Tour was a guy named Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew him a little bit. So every time there was a show, he'd be like, oh, you want to hand out flyers? So I'd go into the venue and hand out flyers to people coming in. And then you would get an after the show pass. And it was always Jason. I think I did like five or six after shows. It was always Jason. So he signed my shirt amongst a bunch of other things. Well, then when they came out with Reload, they toured in the summer of 98. And I was still in college, but it was summertime. So I did the same thing. I just traveled around, you know, the area where I used to live up in the Northeast. And saw him a bunch of times, and I knew I was going to get a meet and greet for a before the show, because my Massachusetts chapter head had a meet and greet passes, and she had the plus one. So I brought the T-shirt, and she brought me in, and it was James and Jason. So I got James to sign it. So Summer Sanitarium, I did the same thing. I had a pre-show pass, and just James and Jason again. I had the shirt just in case, but just those two guys. So fast forward, the Hardwired come out.
Mm-hmm.
I won a meet and greet through the club for the Birmingham, Alabama show in 2009. So like 1996 to 2009 2019 rather, is how many years? 20 something years.
Something like that. I'm not going to.
So, me either. So someone will figure it out. That's listening. But yeah. So the first one was like 96 era with years with Jason, 98 with James. And then in January of 2019, played at Birmingham, Alabama. I got the meet and greet. It was Kirk and Lars. And when Kirk signed it, I was like, hey, Kirk, you know, can you sign my shirt? I'm trying to get all four of you guys to sign it. I got James and Jason. And he goes, wow, two signatures that are really hard to come by these days. I was like, yeah. And then he signed it, you know, and then Lars was last and he signed it. And
That's awesome. Yeah.
Pretty cool. I got it.
Well, I was thinking how lucky you were, because you were able to get in when James was still doing the meet and greets and stuff.
Yeah. I told him he had a cool T-shirt, which we're in a semicircle. He's coming around and like, you know, I'm really nervous. This is James Hetfield. This is the band I've loved since I was little. And I just kept saying, don't say anything stupid. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm a big, you know, he probably hears, oh, I'm a big fan, like every 5 seconds. But I was like, don't say anything stupid. Just don't say something stupid. And he had one of those, he had a wife beater on. I still have the picture of he and I. It was a wife beater that said West Coast Choppers.
Yeah.
You know, that cross logo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, what's up, man? And he shook my hand and went, that's a really cool shirt. That's what I said to him. He said, Bill. And like, he looked at me, he's like, thanks. Well, I mean, he could have, he shook my hand. He's like, hey, what's up, man? And I just went, this is a cool shirt. But you know, it was kind of like an icebreaker soda. Cause like, you know,
well, listen, I met, Lars Ulrich and Robert Trujillo twice. The first time I met them was the first time I'd ever met anybody in Metallica. And I'm not even sure I got actual words out of my mouth. I was just like a stuttering, babbling moron. Like, and then you walk away and I'm like all like rattled. And then you think about like the next day, you're like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, they're just human beings. But you know, in my head, mm-hmm. again, they're my favorite band and they're the only people I've ever mm-hmm. met of any, not that I've met tons of, you know, well-known people, but I've been fortunate enough to meet some, and they're the only people that when I've met, I've been like intimidated by. But fortunately I got to meet mm-hmm. them like a second time. And I was in that time I was like, all right, I'm going to act like a normal functioning human being. And I was able to, and I was able to do that. So that was nice to like, kind of have mm-hmm. like that redemption. And then I met Kirk Hammett once, and that was, you know, I was able again to be a functioning human being for the brief moment I had with him. But, you know, James, I've never been able to meet, and I'm not sure that opportunity will ever present itself now because he just does less and less stuff, which I get, you know, he has the mm-hmm. right to do his thing and do whatever is best for him. But for me, it sucks.
Yeah.
But of course, he has an open invitation to this podcast. I'm sure that he's listening, and you know, the PR team will be calling me up right away. I'm sure, any minute now.
Fingers crossed.
Well, that's really cool. So, it's awesome that you're able to kind of build this collection of stuff that you are really passionate about. And I think it's awesome that you want to share it. So tell us a little bit about the show Headbangers Closet.
Well, it started because, you know, I've got a ton of stuff. And I'm not really one, like I said earlier, to kind of put myself out there, but I started getting on the Metallica Collectors page on Facebook a lot. And I was seeing this stuff and I was like, man, that's awesome. You know, where the heck did they get that? All this stuff that I didn't have that I was like, I would have loved, you know, would have loved to have collected like back in the day, and I just never did. So that's kind of where the channel kind of started from. It wasn't just to show my stuff. It was to show other collectors, hey, this is what's out there that you can get. Like, I never knew there was all these different color versions that you can get until Facebook, you know, because the record stores that where I lived in the area didn't have all this other stuff. They just had the, you know, the normal releases. But I've got all the stuff. I got a really good buddy of mine that is a professional like hiker. He does like the Appalachian Trail and all these other crazy mountains. And he writes all these books. And he's like, dude, you know so much about this. And he and I started a college football show together. He's like, dude, you got to do one about your heavy metal stuff. Everyone would love that. And you're so knowledgeable about it. So basically around like, I guess, around this time last year, it was during like the middle of the pandemic, so maybe it was like March or April, I think it was April or May of last year, I started doing it, and just started showing a little bit at a time, like one or two things. It's kind of morphed there. I'm in a different spot now.
Mm-hmm.
Start, you know, showing more of my stuff. I'm doing two episodes a week now, where I like, do like a main one that comes out on Wednesday nights, and then like a small little, I call it story time. I like pick a record or a CD and I tell a story about maybe like a time I saw that band, or like a, just like a crazy story about revolving that band or that record. And it's like a quick episode. Those are on Saturday nights. So
nice.
That's basically what I've been doing. It's, I enjoy it. It's fun. It was just a good time. I got a handful of people that subscribe and like to, you know, send me messages and, you know, a comment or whatever and whatnot. So it's cool. I made some friends. So,
I enjoy it.
It's fun. I'm glad I'm doing it.
I mean, that's what it's all about. Like for me, that's why I started this podcast, was to, you know, to talk to other fans. And mm-hmm. you know, when I look back on like the few years I've been doing one, I cannot believe it's been a few years already, because, you know, when I recorded my first episode, I was like, this might be the only episode I ever do. But I had fun with it. And then, you know, I did another one, and then a third one, and then it just started building. I was like, oh, I think people are actually listening to this. And then, you know, through listeners reaching out and then just interacting with people on Facebook and Instagram and especially Twitter, you know, we met, and Jason, who I mentioned before, and just of so many cool people that, you know, even though we've not met in person, I would consider friends who, you know, let's go to a show together, you know, and grab a beer and get something to eat and, you know, and just like shoot the shit. And none of that would have happened without the podcast, which was just something I did initially for fun as a hobby to talk to people about my favorite band. So to hear you doing the same thing, just basically a video version of it and about your collection, I think is super cool because I can totally relate to that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I got there's a guy I met, you know, on the YouTube, subscribed, was commenting. He has his channel. He's out of Chicago. And just like you said about meeting people, you've never met him in person, but, you know, hope to see a show one day, grab a beer. Yeah. He's like, hey, man. And he's a huge Metallica fan. He's like, hey, man. Anytime Metallica comes up, we got to go see him together, drink some beers before the show, after the show. So, like, you know, you're making new friends because of that connection through not just the band, but like heavy metal in general. And that's, to me, there's no stronger friendships than the ones that are forged through like metal, you know?
Yeah. Well,
stuff
I mean,
like that, you know, because teams come and go, but like metal usually stays with you forever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds corny, but the reality is what you just said, because, you know, like my wife will always laugh and like roll her eyes or when I'm, anytime I wear a Metallica t-shirt out in public, guaranteed at least one person will say something like Metallica or, mm-hmm. Oh, I saw them on this tour and then whatever. Like even like we moved to Connecticut where we live now a few years ago, not long before this podcast started. And I remember like in the first month, there is a deli like down the street. And we're like, let's go get breakfast sandwiches. Go in. We order our breakfast sandwiches. I'm wearing my Metallica t-shirt. The cook comes out with our sandwich and he's like, Metallica. He's like, oh, I saw him on this tour. But and it's like, and now every time I go in there, he's like, Metallica.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah, it, I tell you what, I wish my wife could hear you say that story. Because it's the same with me. Like, I mean, I live in Georgia.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan. We'll go to the mall, got a Georgia shirt on, nobody says anything, but I walk by with like an Iron Maiden Killers shirt and someone guarantees me like, dude, awesome shirt, you know. Something like that. It never fails because heavy metal brings people together.
Yeah.
And you, some random stranger like the guy at the deli, that dude's now your pal, you know.
Right. And now it's like, well, even like recently, so like last week we had like a outside dinner with a couple neighbors and, you know, we only know them as like on a neighbor level and we've never really had like dinner with them and stuff. So, you know, we're having dinner, making small talk, getting to know each other, doing what adults do, talking about work, talking about kids, yada, 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 yada. And then my wife goes, well, you know how Brandon spends his free time. He records a podcast. And they go, oh, what's your podcast about? I go, Metallica. The two guys at the table go, you like Metallica? The rest of the night, we're just talking about music. For like the next like 2 hours, we're just talking about music, metal, and Metallica. And my wife is probably like, nice. Oh, what did I do? What did I do?
We're never having a dinner party ever again.
But
that's awesome.
It just perfectly backs up what you're saying, which is, you know, like when you see somebody wearing a metal t-shirt, you're like, whether that guy is an asshole or not, I feel like I know him. I feel like we could at least have a mm-hmm. beer together. And, It does create this like brotherhood, and I think with Metallica especially, the fan base is so rabid and so loyal that, you know, when they say Metallica family, again, sounds corny, but there is a truth to it. And you know, to do things like to create any kind of content that even a small percentage of, you know, Metallica fans will dig, like this podcast, Headbangers Closet. Like, I think it's just a small, cool way to interact, meet with fans, and in our own way contribute to the fan base, and to ultimately just pay homage to our favorites.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, that's, I think, you know, what do they call it? Sincerest form of flattery or whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of pertains to this, maybe. I don't know. I like to think it does. You know, I like to think maybe if James is sitting there or Lars at late at night is looking through YouTube and finds a show, they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. That guy's got something I haven't seen. And, you know, oh, maybe I got a copy of that record in my, you know, in the vault or something, you know. Yeah, right, right. Lars has everything. But, you know, just something like that. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, and I like, what I like about Headbangers Closet too is that you have such a varied metal collection. So, like, I know, like, on your Instagram not that long ago, you were talking about death, and it, you know, it's, you have a good variety, and you, you know, you're still, I see through your posts, you still like hair metal, you still are heavy into thrash metal, you're into some of the heavier stuff. So it's a good varied mix of metal and hard rock. So I highly recommend it. There'll definitely be links in the episode description. Tell everybody where they can find you, Brett.
Well, you can go to the YouTube. It's Headbangers Closet. Instagram, same thing, Headbangers Closet. And then Twitter, it's Metal Dog Wing, and soon probably to be Headbangers Closet. you guys are pushing me in that direction, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of didn't want to do a whole new, you know, what do you call it, Twitter account. So I'm just probably just going to change the name to Headbangers Closet. So that's where anybody can find me. I always take suggestions and recommendations and trying to be nice with the hate comments I get sometimes.
Well, and like I said, I recommend you join us. And of course, I'm at Metallicast Pod on Twitter. And if you're in, if you want to jump on board, share some thrash, share some metal in general, 5 tracks a week. You know, I listen to all of your tracks now that we have more people involved. I cannot guarantee I'll listen to all the tracks, but I'm going to listen to as many tracks as possible, hopefully while drinking some cold beer. And and we'll be on Twitter shooting the shit either way, giving our notes, reviews that nobody asked for. It's a good time.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed this, but after last week's, one of the bands was liking our posts.
I saw, I think that
Ralph
yeah.
suggested this particular band, and that band was liking, like, so like, oh, I'm so happy I didn't talk shit about the band, you know. But it was cool. Like, I noticed that band liked all the posts. So,
yeah, I saw that.
I'm looking forward to it. The weekend starts tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we got a fresh lineup. I released my songs today at the time we're recording this. The weekend will already be done when this episode comes out, but there'll be another round. We usually start posting the songs on like Thursday or Friday, just in time for the weekend. And on the day this episode comes out, too, real quick before you go, on the day this episode comes out, Metallica is doing it one more. Hashtag Metallica Monday with the live stream to help benefit the All Within My Hands Foundation during their month of giving. Will you be tuning in?
I hope to. It depends on the wife's schedule and if I'm on dad duty, because the little one, you know, she's not really little anymore, but she kind of makes it difficult to have any kind of dad time, you know.
I hear
every single one they've done, I've watched in its entirety at least once, some multiple times. But I didn't always watch them on that Monday.
Right.
It just depends if my wife had work late or not. So, yeah, I'll be watching. How about yourself?
I'm planning on watching. The only question I have is, do I bring back the half hour live pre-show? That's the question. When they were doing the Metallica Mondays, I did the live quarantine episodes. Like about a half hour before the start of the stream, we shot the shit. We did some Metallica trivia. Do I bring it back for 1 week, or do I just take the night off and enjoy the show?
Oh, and I see now you got me feeling guilty for saying bring it back.
Listen, I know.
I was kind of thinking that he's wanting to.
No, I do want to. It honestly just depends again on work and family schedule here. But if I can make it happen, I will make an announcement on social media at MetallicastPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So if you're interested, if you're listening to this the day of, tune into that space. If you're not listening the day of, well, what is wrong with you? You should be listening to this the second it comes out. But if you're listening to it a couple days later, or a year later, if I did it, it'll be out in podcast form, so you can go check it out. I'm already advertising an episode I might do for the future. There you go. Marketing, awesome, baby.
Talk about professionalism. There you go, right there.
And now watch me do something unprofessional, like, oh, I'm not recording this. I am recording this, just for the record. I saw your face. You were like, what the fuck? All right, Brett. Thank you so much for your time. Check out Headbanger's Closet. Check out the links in the episode description. We'll continue this conversation on Twitter.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, man.
Sounds good, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, we'll see you, buddy.
Later.
A huge thank you to Brett Maiolan for coming back on Metallicast. Check out Headbanger's Closet. The link to it is in the episode description. Give us a follow on social media. His link to his Twitter is in the episode description as well. And like we said, every week we choose 5 metal, usually thrash metal songs. We listen, discuss, review, give our unbiased opinion, and we drink some beer, shoot the shit. It is a good old time, so join in on the fun if you are interested. I am at MetallicastPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so give me a follow everywhere. I also want to thank Bison, who provided all the music you heard in this episode. He was also my guest last week when we debuted the brand new Metallicast intro that he arranged and recorded and performed. It is amazing. People so far in the Metallicast Minutia have been loving it. I love it. I hope you do too. But check out the links in the episode description for his work as well and support him. And he just does great work. If you are new to the podcast, please download, subscribe, leave a positive 5-star review. All that goes a long way and help this podcast continue to grow on my quest for world domination. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, metal up your ass. Yeah! Fans, not experts.